been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, broadcasting live every Thursday. We are in studio today at Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin of Provident. And we have a special show today. Joining me in the studio is Mr. JJ Superman Holly. JJ is the, I know, Catherine gave you that tag, so you just got to wear it now. Wear it with pride. He's the president CEO of the Woodlands Area Chamber of Commerce, and we have special guest Elsa Cantu. I really love your spirit, Elsa. You know what? She walked in today. She didn't know she was going to be on the show. I said, Elsa, would you like to join us on the show today? She said, sure, and here she is.
Hello.
Yeah. Hey, she's doing great already. And then also we have Jakob Boulens, and he has a company called Max Grip. It's got an international, I guess you do business in how many countries?
I think we have offices in 4 different countries, but we do business in like over 30 different countries.
Okay, so he has an international perspective that he's going to bring to the show today. We're going to do a deep dive on your international business experience. Jakob is a Harvard MBA, and you lead a company that is in the asset performance management business, and so many of our listeners may be not exactly familiar with what that is, but I know that you're going to tell us, right?
Yeah. I can tell. Our clients are large asset-intensive companies. They have large installations to either produce oil or brew beer or whatever. And these installations are needed to produce in a safe and predictable way. But as you know, everything in life fails sooner or later, and that also is the case for the installations of our customers. But what we do is we predict and try to prevent these failures from happening, and in that way ensure that our customers can produce in a safe and predictable way.
And it sounds like you bring an outside perspective, an outside area of expertise, an outside set of eyes to these businesses. So we're going to really enjoy learning about that from you, Jakob. Now, the Shrimp Tank wants to say special thank you to the Chamber of Commerce for being part of our show, and also the Sam Houston State University Entrepreneurship Degree Program. And I'd like to say thank you to the Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands. Now, next week we have a special show coming up, and that special show is our commercial banking episode. We're filming that live in the classroom at Sam Houston State University. We'll be interviewing Ray Sanders, who's an executive with Woodforest Bank. Ray also teaches commercial banking at Sam Houston State University.
He's a former chairman of the board of the Woodlands Chamber as well.
He's a chamber brother, right?
Yes, he is.
And I believe now that Ray is the president of the Interfaith, right?
I am not sure about that.
I think he's chairman of the Interfaith now. I'm pretty sure he is, or past.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Anyway, he's civically involved. Mm-hmm. And then also a shout out to Dr. Newbold, who will be co-hosting. He'll be a guest, first-time co-host on the show. So we're excited to do that in the classroom. We're excited also about the program that we're going to do with the Entrepreneurship Degree Program, where we're going to hear live pitches of from young entrepreneurs, new business ideas all across the state of Texas in front of our panel of experts. And this is not to raise capital, but it's to garner mentorship from our expert mentor experts. So think of it, it's kind of like the Shark Tank meets The Voice. So Shark Tank, Shrimp Tank, we're a little spin off of that. Anyway, and we're excited to talk about entrepreneurship because, JJ, where do most jobs come from anyway?
Small business entrepreneurs.
Yeah, would you second that, Jakob?
I think so, yeah. That is where every company started, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, and you work with bigger companies, right? So bigger, what does that mean exactly from a capitalization standpoint?
Bigger means like real large multinational companies.
Fortune 500 companies?
Yes, absolutely. Like the Shells, like the BPs, that kind of companies, PepsiCo.
You're from the Netherlands.
I'm from the Netherlands, yes.
Can you tell us what it means to go Dutch?
I know there's a lot of different different sayings in the English language about Dutch.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so
going Dutch. Out.
One of my friends is a retired executive with Shell and had it's a Dutch company, and lived in the Netherlands, had great things to say about it. Is it a great place, fun to live?
Yeah, it is. It's a very very nice small to U.S. standards, to Texas standards, very small country, but it's very pleasant to live there.
Okay, and Elsa, you work along with the company. What's your area of expertise, or what's your role in the company?
Actually, I just started a few weeks ago, but I'm really doing more of a product marketing manager perspective and helping them here in the U.S. as well as global opportunities. So
you're in the marketing side because you can have the greatest skill set, the greatest area of expertise, but people have to know about you, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So Elsa's out there getting people. In fact, she got you on the show today.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Earned media right here, folks.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So, before we go too much further, you did have a very interesting bio, so we're really excited to have you on as a guest. And JJ, you want to read our guest bio?
I'll do my best.
All right.
So today we have Jacob Bolens, who is an established leader in the areas of maintenance and reliability engineering. Working in the industry for over 20 years, Mr. Bolens has played a key role in the development of the MaxGrip organization. MaxGrip is an asset performance management company specializing in engineering, consultancy, and asset management B2B software. Mr. Bolens oversees a global organization with multinational clients in the areas of oil and gas, chemical, energy, transportation, food, and pharma. The goal of MaxGrip is to collaborate with clients in order to develop solutions that are practical and lead to lasting improvements in effectiveness and efficiency of their major assets. However, the ultimate goal is that clients are in control of their installations, producing a safer, more productive work environment for their organization. Mr. Bolens has an undergraduate degree in physics and a Harvard MBA. A native of the Netherlands, Mr. Bolens is married with 4 children and looks forward to seeing his country in the next World Cup. And what sport would that be?
That would be soccer.
Yes.
Yeah.
He didn't call it football, but...
He did not.
No.
Catherine's got her views on what's real football, right? She's been Americanized,
Has she really?
She's got a team, yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't sound Americanized. I have to say this. One of our very good chamber members is Dennis Kroetze, who is from the Netherlands, and he is a very good soccer player and has started a soccer... program here in the Woodlands. In fact, it's right across the interstate, and he's got a very nice building, and it's painted the Netherlands orange.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. We'll have to get you and Dennis together.
Very nice.
I would like that. Yeah.
In case you just tuned in, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank podcast, where we interview Houston's best and brightest entrepreneurs, business owners. We're in the studio today with Jacob Bolens and Elsa Cantu and JJ Holly, and as always, don't forget you can download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. So with that in mind, we are actually coming on. This is our first, we're coming right off the election, okay? And so, yeah, I saw some happy dances, afterwards, and I saw some long, sad faces. And one of the things that I spent the last 3 days before the show, I mean full days with a tax attorney and a CPA, and I was exposed to a whole lot of the conversation about where taxes are going under Hillary and where taxes are going under Trump. And so I brought with me today just a few comments, because these comments we could do a whole show on these Tax Policy Center comments from the Urban Institute and Brookings Institution. But there was an analysis done of Hillary's tax plan and Trump's tax plan. And overall, we talked about it earlier in another earlier today, JJ. And my synopsis was that the taxes are anticipated to be more business friendly under a Trump administration. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, I think that that is what everyone is so excited about, is that new economic policies that we'll see with President-elect Trump. And we have our own homegrown U.S. Congressman, Kevin Brady, who hails from the Woodlands and is the House Ways and Means Committee Chairman, which oversees tax policy. And Kevin Brady has been instrumental in has been working tirelessly to better the tax situation that we have for both businesses and residences. And I think with Trump in office, he'll have a much better shot at that.
Yeah, so this is a shout out to Kevin Brady, but I would echo and I'd say, listen, we have a Republican president, House and Senate,
correct.
We've got that for 2 years. So if you're going to do something, you better move in into these 2 years because that's a limited window. So a couple of comments from the memo here is that the Trump proposals are to significantly reduce marginal tax rates, increase standard deduction amounts. There's going to be a repeal of personal exemptions, capped itemized deduction, allow businesses to elect to expense new investment and not deduct interest expenses. His proposal would cut taxes at all income levels. That's got to be good. Now, I did a symposium this summer with Dr. Art Laffer, who was Ronald Reagan's chief economic advisor. And under the Reagan administration, they raised revenue and cut taxes in the same time. So it's one of those counterintuitive things that's worked in the past. We hope that that's going to work again. But I think that's the mindset of the Trump presidency. We're going to see the top individual tax rate go from 39.3% down to 33%. And of course, with the repeal of Obamacare, then that 3.8 that's been added on, so that should go away. When we talk to high net worth business owners and they look at their marginal tax rate at being 39.3, we often see that if effectively it can be even higher than that with the phase outs, that alternative minimum tax and different phase outs. So anyway, by the way, if anybody would like to have a copy of this memo, we could send it to them in PDF. I found it to be interesting reading, but we've only got so much time to talk about that. So let's move right along. You've introduced our guest, Yaakov Boulans. And so tell us a little bit about just kind of a 35,000-foot view of your company. And you told us what you do. Give us maybe a more recent specific example of a company that had a problem and you helped them.
Okay. I thought that our company is really a combination of a software company and offering consultancy services in the area of asset performance management. And one of our largest customers is Royal Dutch Shell. And they acquired, maybe you've heard of that, recently BG, and they are now bringing...
That's the British gas company.
And they're bringing all kinds of BG assets to the standards of Royal Dutch Shell. And that's what we help them with. So basically what we do an assessment of all the assets that they do have, if everything is documented in a proper way, and if all risks are identified, and if mitigating actions have been put in place. And after such an analysis, we come up with an improvement program to ensure the safety of the operations of their installations. And that's the kind of work that we do for our customers. And we do that, by the way, not only in oil and gas, but also in food and beverages. That is pretty big market to us. It's globally also a large growth market. Just by the fact that the world population is growing pretty fast, and also the infrastructure market is a large market to us.
And this question would be open to anybody. But what do you think is some takeaways that a small business owner might take away from this sort of work that you do for big clients? Any thoughts or ideas about that? Because what I think of immediately is that you're doing things at a high level because the stakes are so big that the company wants to mitigate losses, mitigate risk, and you're there. So maybe for a small business owner, it's really taking some time, applying the E-Myth principle, working on the business versus in the business. We see small business owners that are sometimes on the hamster wheel. They're just showing up, gutting it out every day. But the discipline of stepping away from the business and doing an examination of the business. What do you think about that?
Well, it took. If I look at it, it took us quite a while to get project with these large customers. I mean, we did not start off, obviously, with providing all kinds of services to these large customers. We started off small and tried to be successful. And with being successful, we were able to move towards larger customers. So that takes time. I think if you start a business, you should not expect to directly serve really large multinational customers.
So, Jakob, what was the what's a good description of the first job, the first business that you really helped with MaxGrip?
Well, we started off in a waste company, basically a waste company that turned waste into gas, and also that cleaned up wastewater. And they had all kinds of problems with their installations because of acid gas, a lot of failures. And that's where we started. And it was also, from a different perspective, a good company to start with, because the consequences, the eventual consequences that failure could lead to, were not too dramatic. And mm-hmm. I mean, it also was for us a nice way to learn about this this area of expertise.
So did you help them with manufacturing processes, or did you design software that was specifically written for them? Or?
What we did is we helped them with setting up preventive maintenance plans, really maintaining their installations in a proper way, and also helping them to redesign certain parts of their installations.
I'm going to go back to what you said. You talked about starting small, growing, building, being patient. You know, none of these are American values. We're all about instant, immediate gratification, you know. I'm making a joke here. But, so that's a lesson. That's a takeaway, is that even though you've built this successful company now, you've reached these levels, your clientele are Fortune 500 companies. You started your company at the beginning somewhere, and you took the leap of faith as an entrepreneur. Tell us a little bit about that, just kind of the startup. Because I could tell that's bringing back some memories to you.
Yeah, Jakob has some memories here. You can.
Yeah. Well, I think we just started with an idea. We just had an idea that there would be a business possible, helping companies to prevent their installations to fail. And I mean, we did not do very thorough research on that. It was just a combination of some experience that we had personally, and thinking it through, we thought, well, likely there will be many companies struggling with this. And then at a certain moment, we decided just to go for it. And then we founded a company. We did that in a bar, by the way. And sometimes you get your best ideas in a bar, at least we did. And we decided to start small, but we always kept the end in mind, that we wanted to deliver our services to these large multinational companies eventually.
So were you already working, gainfully employed before you started this business?
I had a couple of years of experience within Schlumberger. Mm-hmm. I had been working in a lot of countries in Africa, then came back to the Netherlands and was looking for something new. And then basically this idea popped up, literally, like I said, in a bar, and then we...
I have a lot of good ideas in a bar that I think are good ideas. Later on, maybe not so much.
I think, yeah. JJ, you might need to ask what kind of beer he was drinking. Maybe that could be inspirational for other people.
That is a great idea. Well, Jakob's not going to tell us what kind of beer he was drinking.
So, takeaway. And the Nike quote, just do it. You know what? He didn't stay home and study spreadsheets forever. Sometimes you have to take that leap of faith. And so my producer is telling me we need to go to a commercial break. We've got some great questions that JJ is going to start in. As soon as we come back from commercial break, we'll be back in about 30 seconds with our guest. And you're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, broadcasting to you live from Mercedes of the Woodlands. Don't forget, you can always download a complete replay of our show at Houston.ShrimpTankPodcast.com. MaxGrip is the front runner in the area of asset performance management. We are both a consultancy firm and software house, creating smart solutions for any business that manages capital-intensive assets. With our solutions and software, we enable our clients to gain full control over their assets, optimizing performance and creating a safe, working environment. Visit us on the web at maxgrip.com. And we are back live in studio with our special guest, and we're on the Shrimp Tank podcast, broadcasting to you live from Mercedes-Benz. They told me to don't forget the
Mercedes-Benz.
Mercedes-Benz.
Of the Woodlands.
Of the Woodlands.
Of yes. the Woodlands. And I have live in studio Elsa Cantu and Yakov Boulins and my special co-host, Mr. J.J. Holly. So, J.J., you had a couple of questions that you wanted to circulate. Let's roll with those.
I do, Yakov. So, you're a multinational company. What is the difference between, or what are the differences in doing business in the United States versus companies that are headquartered in other areas of the world?
Well, I think there's many differences between each country, and sometimes you will find that the differences between, for example, doing business in the Netherlands and our neighboring country, Belgium, are far much larger than doing business over here in Texas.
That shocks me a little bit. Why do you think that is the case?
Well, there's a lot of cultural differences, a lot of different history, the way people like to work together. If they're very, if there's a lot of hierarchy, for example, I find doing business in Texas very much alike doing business in the Netherlands in many aspects. There's definitely differences. We have. For example, much stricter employment laws that from an employer point of view makes it more difficult to do business. That's a really large difference. But in general, I find the approach here in Texas very much alike the approach in the Netherlands. It's a very open-minded approach. If you've got a good idea, people tend to be open to it. They like to listen to it, and they will give you their opinion, their straightforward opinion. And that's what I like. I mean, also if they don't like it, they tell it, and that's better than just.
So you know where you stand.
Yeah. That's good because then you're not wasting time.
Exactly.
People don't always do that here in the South. You know, they sweet talk you and everything, and then yeah, I'll get back to you. Yeah. And
this is like, Texas, man. It's not the South. Come on.
Yeah. Well, and then they delete your contact. You know, and then
yeah, and then you're like, hey, what happened?
Right. So there are some cultural differences in doing business internationally, and I believe there's some areas of study of understanding these different cultural, because some of my clients that have international experience have talked to me about it before, and I guess that's a that's something that you've learned working with different clients along the way.
Yeah, and also one thing I've learned is that wherever you go, if you start a new business, a new office, it's like starting completely from scratch.
I heard you say early on about begin with the end in mind, you know, and that takes you back to some of the Stephen Covey and some of these other success principles, which, you know, being others oriented, those usually are good business practices because people can become interested in what you know if they know that you genuinely care about them and their business. And is that where that came from when I heard you say begin with the end in mind?
But it's when we started our business, I had never heard of Stephen Covey, to be honest.
Okay.
It just makes so much sense. I'm not a strong believer in detailed business plans. I trust gut feeling. I would recommend to people to trust your gut feeling. You've got to dream. You've got to dream, and there's nothing wrong with dreaming big. And even if it will take you 30 years, as long as you have the end in mind, you can always find a path to get there.
I'm just reading now with Dave Ramsey. Book called Entree Leadership, and he talks about starting with passion, and that is that logic and facts aren't good sales tools, no. But passion is.
Exactly.
These are absolute pearls for any entrepreneur to make the part of the bedrock of your mindset if you're going to begin the journey as an entrepreneur. And I got to be honest, now, I don't believe everybody's cut out to be an entrepreneur. It takes a lot of work, takes sacrifice. You have to take risk. And many people prefer the safety net of, you know, the guarantees and such. And so sometimes the decision to become an entrepreneur is a gut check. And it's not axiomatic that being an entrepreneur is for you. You have to, it's a little bit of a journey into self for many entrepreneurs. So being a Harvard MBA, I find that to be pretty impressive as far as your education. And I know that I would assume you're very well read. What's a couple of books that for business owners, entrepreneurs that are standouts that you'd say, okay, this one I want in hard copy, this one I want my son to read, or, you know, one of my kids to read one day? What's a couple that you might think of that impacted you professionally?
I think the book of Stephen Covey, I recognize a lot of things in. It was more like a confirmation of many things and putting all kinds of pieces together. But I'll give you a completely different answer. Maybe you will not expect that. One of the books that inspired me most is Moby Dick.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is really about a man chasing his dream.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, that's what is important. There's no theory whatsoever that will learn you that. And so there's many books that describe people striving for something.
You know, Jacob, it's interesting you say that, because there was a conference I just went to where there was a video that the presenter had done and asked, and it was on women and their success in life and in business. And it said, is there a formula?
Or is it a gene? You know, you have an entrepreneurial gene.
Yeah, and they said, you know, are you an early riser or a late nighter? Well, half were early riser, half were late nighter. You know, are you an idea person? Are you a detail person? And there was no formula to it. But the one thing they all had in common was they were very passionate, and nothing stopped them from getting where they wanted
exactly.
to go.
Exactly, and I think that is key. I mean, never give up. If you really want to go for it, you should never give up. And another thing that's really important, I think, is that, and that's something that's basically one of my mottos, the way I look at life is, it's better to regret something that you did than to regret something that you never did. I mean, that's something you can never restore.
So what were some hurdles early on, or even recently, or mistakes that you had to overcome to continue your success?
There's so many.
Pick the top 10.
But then again, I don't think it's wrong to make mistakes. I mean, it's stupid to make the same mistakes over and over again. I mean, making mistakes is very human, and I bet we all make mistakes if we look honestly back on our day, then on every day you will find things that you would like to have done differently, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I think it's important to be honest about that, honest and true to yourself about those mistakes. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only way to learn, and also to be honest about it towards other people, because that's the basis of trust. And if other people do not recognize that you do recognize your mistakes, then they will stop trust you.
Yeah, there's a fatal mistake of thinking you're the smartest person in the room.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. So I have a question, Elsa.
I've been so quiet.
Yeah. Well,
I was trying to think of a book, and I have a young son, and the only one I could think of is Dinosaur Versus Bedtime.
So you work alongside Jacob Boulens and the company Max Grip, and he's essentially sharing some mindsets and cultural beliefs. And are these things consistent with what you see in the workplace there, and the way the company interacts with clients? And What's your little bit about your experience there?
Well, I think the best thing about Max Grip so far for me has been the flexibility of being able to come and go as I need based on, you know, work-life balance. And I think that is a huge thing in regards to work ethic. I think many places require someone to just be there. And I think it's a little old-fashioned. So I think the big thing for me is the ability to have life-work balance and do what I need to do and then be available to work when it needs to be done.
Work, yeah, because you have a life. All of us have a life apart from work. Now, is that a little bit of a European cultural mindset about, you know, flexibility, work? Like, is that, or is that just unique to you and Max Grip?
I think you will find that in Europe more than in the U.S. or in the Far East. And then even in the Netherlands, you will find it even to a much larger extent even. But I do think it's very important because you when you ask a lot of people, a lot of their energy, a lot of what they can deliver to you each and every day, they also need to get their rest and need to be fit to deliver what you require them to do.
So do you think in general Americans are killing themselves sometimes working too hard on the, you know, hamsters on the wheel, the proverbial hamster wheel? Is do you think that maybe a few of the European you know, mindsets could be helpful or could be beneficial to more Americans?
I think a couple of things could be helpful. I mean, it's at the end of the day, each and everyone's personal choice. But for me, I don't see any value in time spent in traveling. That's just a waste of time. It does not add any value to our customers, nor to Max Grip as a company. So I tell all our employees that they must minimize on travel time and that we must find ways to organize ourselves in better ways and that we will be willing to invest in that.
Okay, so technology can give us the tools for relationship building in a virtual. We're all living in a virtual world right now, and I think that's important. I know that in the setting for our business, we like to do a lot of things up front, early on, face to face, where we really make that relationship. But then after that, we do, you know, plenty of screen shares, video conferencing, and we don't really feel like anything's lost. And that's a wonderful thing about technology in the business environment today.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You go along with that, JJ?
Definitely. The term that comes to my mind, or the saying, is don't confuse activity with productivity. And just because you're staying there till 5 or 6 o'clock at night doesn't mean you get anything really done.
Except. Yeah, and if have you ever been exposed to strategic coach Dan Sullivan's strategic coach out of Toronto?
No, I haven't.
It's an international company, and it's a coaching for CEOs and executives. And one of the things they really stress is a lot of free days to actually step away from the business, because you come back with a freshness and a clarity. And it's a discipline. Most entrepreneurs that have this hunger and this passion you're talking about, you can't pull these guys, these people away, because they're, and sometimes they're committed, but sometimes the very best way, it's counterintuitive. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank podcast, broadcasting to you live from Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands. Don't forget, you can download a complete replay of our show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com, and you can find all of our shows on iTunes. We'll be right back.
Has planning, saving, and investing for retirement been on your to-do list for far too long? Then look no further than right here in the Woodlands with the coaches of Provident Wealth Advisors. Don't put planning for your future off any longer. Get started today. Call 281-466-4843 today. Visit us on the web at www.providentwealthllc.com.
Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Provident Wealth Advisors, a registered investment advisor in the state of Texas. Insurance products and services are offered through Goodwin Financial Group. Provident Wealth Advisors and Goodwin Financial Group are affiliated companies. And we are back in studio with Yakov Bolins. He has an international company, and his company's called Max Grip. Joining me in the studio today is Elsa Cantu and also my co-host, Mr. J.J. Hawley of the Woodlands area, Greater Woodlands area Chamber of Commerce. So we're doing a deep dive on what it's like to be an international business person, an international consultant. We've talked about culture. We've talked about various mindsets. And we have a few more questions for you as we move along through the interview. J.J.?
Jakob, I was wondering, before the commercial break, we were talking about stepping back and taking some time away to look at your business. How do you go about doing strategic planning for MaxGrip?
Well, we have quite a formal and strict process for that, and we plan these sessions roughly 1 year ahead. And basically, we put quite a lot of time and a lot of thought in it, and also try to engage with quite a large amount of our employees, but also with our customers. So we organize roundtable sessions with customers, and that's basically an exchange of ideas. What they are looking for kinds of products and services, but also what we think that might happen in the market, what might be technologically possible, and through this whole process, we come up with an update of our strategy every 2 years.
Oh, so you know that I'm curious about that. So you start planning a year in advance, and you do this every 2 years. It sounds like clockwork. You're very faithful to that process.
Yes, very faithful to it. Yeah. It's also got to do with what we discussed earlier, keeping the end in mind, and and also looking back on how we performed the last couple of years, and if we have realized our plans, and if not, what the root cause of that is, and whether we made wrong assumptions or the market changed or whatever.
Okay. Elsa, you had a question?
Yes, I do. Jakob, what do you think about the idea of working harder versus working smarter?
Well, I'm very much in favor of working smarter. I mean, working harder at the end of the day leads to a lot of stress, and it's what I've noticed the last, well, let's say 5 to 10 years, if I compare it when I started my career, is that it looks like people spend more and more time working in the evenings, working on their laptops, or looking through their email on their mobile phone, and I think that continuous flow of mails popping up and continuously trying to get our attention is not so productive at all, and I think it can really wear out people. And what I do personally, because I struggled with it personally as well, what I do is that my email stops synchronizing with my mobile phone at 6 o'clock every Friday afternoon, and it starts to synchronize after I've had breakfast on Monday morning again.
That's so
I didn't know you could do that.
Yes, you can do that.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What a great idea.
That even sounds like they can kind of go to the next one. Do you have any, like, you know, positive game-changing decisions that you've made in your business? Game-changing isn't a term they use in the Netherlands, do they?
Yeah, well, I understand what you mean.
Okay. Think soccer game, you know?
Well, I think what was really game-changing is when we decided to develop a software solution. And we developed that after a couple of years. We started off as only a consultancy firm, but after a couple of years, we decided that we needed to have a professional tool. We had a thorough look on the market, did not find what we were looking for, and eventually we decided to build it ourselves. And that was really game-changing, because from that moment on, we were able to engage with larger customers and have better continuity with these customers. I mean, if you have deployed a software solution with the customer, you always have a reason to go back to these customers and try to further improve.
Are you talking about a dashboard of key metrics to help business owners, better understand and better, have better information to make business decisions?
That's part of it. That's part of it. But it also the development of software really has been a journey in itself. I mean, there's so many developments that have taken place the last 10 years.
How do you feed the data into it? The mechanism for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's much easier to connect different systems So that has been a very positive game changer. But the speed of change is sometimes difficult to keep up with. And I think many companies are struggling with that. And also that requires really large investments, which for a smaller company like we are, sometimes difficult, because you do not want to make the wrong choice for the wrong platform, for example. That's tough.
So do you have any partners?
Yeah, we do have a couple of partners.
Okay. And did you raise capital to start your business?
No, we didn't.
Okay, bootstrap. No. That's not a term.
Yeah.
You funded it with your own cash.
Yes, that's correct. Until today, yes.
Okay. Until today, meaning you've recently acquired financing? Or?
No, I mean that we never required that, and we founded ourselves what we wanted to do.
Okay.
So and the good thing about it is that we are very much independent in that aspect.
How do you feel about raising capital to grow?
Well, that really depends on what you want to achieve.
Comes with this.
And also if you really would like to stay independent, then I would recommend to not raise capital through private equity, for example.
Comes at quite the cost sometimes.
It comes at a cost, yeah. But there's I mean, the last months, I mean, it's really crazy. I'm being approached a couple of times per week by all kinds of private equity firms from the Valley or New York or London City, if they can finance us.
Coming with that is a loss of a significant amount of control in most cases. Alongside private equity, yeah. And then essentially you have a committee telling you how you're going to run your business, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you can't have it all. So right. It's really depending on what you. Well, where you want to be.
I think a key takeaway from just asking, you know, it's an open-ended question, and you and your partners in your case said, no, that was not for us. That doesn't mean that's not for someone else that is.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all.
Yeah.
I mean, there's many, many very positive aspects of it, but we just didn't make that choice yet. We may make that choice in the future, but until now, we did not need it. And if you don't need it, then my opinion is that it's better to be completely independent.
We're going to run to one more commercial break. We'll be right back. The producer's telling me we need to move it along. We've got just a couple of more questions for you. Don't forget, you're going to be able to download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com.
According to a recent Forbes Business article, 9 out of 10 business owners are overpaying their taxes. Contact the team at Provident and Financial Gravity to explore how you can pay only what you are legally, morally, and ethically required to pay. After a simple 15 to 30 minute no obligation assessment, we'll determine if we can substantially reduce your tax burden. If so, we will develop a tax savings plan utilizing our exclusive tax blueprint. Visit us online at www.providentwealthllc.com.
And we are back in the studio today, and we are with the MaxGrip company and Yakov Bulins and Elsa Cantu, JJ Hawley. And we're running out of time, but we do have a couple of more questions that we wanted to ask you. And you have one more, Elsa?
I do.
And probably time for each of us to have one more question.
I think this is an important one, because I do think it's part of growth. What do you think some of the keys are to hiring good people and keeping them? That one's a tough one.
It is. And I never forget hiring our first employee. I mean, that's also a big decision. If you start a business, hiring your first employee is a major step. It's a major commitment as well. And I mean, still I see hiring each and every new employee as a major commitment of our company. But it should be a mutual commitment. And what I find out is that the most important thing with hiring people is that you should not compromise, and that it's more important if people have the real right attitude and drive to be willing to work along your goals, than that they have exactly the right knowledge. I mean, people can learn a lot, but it's difficult to learn an attitude or to learn drive.
That is funny you say that, Jakob. Another article I read was about hiring attitude versus skill set. You can teach a large amount of skill set, but you can't necessarily change someone's attitude.
Exactly.
So I was wondering, do you have a business mentor? How do you feel about having someone that you can go to that's outside of your business or even outside of your industry to kind of help with advice?
Yeah, I do have that. A couple of years ago, we set up an advisory board for a company, and we did it pretty strict, pretty formally. I mean, at that moment, our company grew larger than 100 employees. So that's becoming then pretty substantial. And we found that we needed to have closer contact as a board with a couple of very experienced people in business that had gone through the whole process a couple of times already. That's what we did, and that worked out really well. And it's really good to have somebody who can just be somebody just to listen to you or just to mirror your thoughts, and that's very helpful.
They need to challenge you a little bit.
I
think it's a bit of a trap to have mentors that are too much like you.
Exactly. Yeah. But that applies to many things. Also to the people that you hire to build your company.
Yep.
There's no point in hiring somebody who can do exactly the same as you do, and I mean it should be complementary. And you need to be open to hiring different people.
Yes, surrounding yourself with yes men is probably not the best idea. You'd need people, like you said, with different skill sets who will actually push back and maybe challenge some of the ideas.
Well, yeah, and basically you need people who can do a better job in certain aspects of the business than you could have done yourself.
Yep, I think that's key. So one last question, and then we're going to need to bring it together, producer says. But, Jakob, what would you say to someone who has tried and failed? Maybe they took that step, they launched a business, didn't work out like they had planned, and they still have that dream, that entrepreneurial heart. And what would you say to them as words of encouragement to help them find that courage to get up, brush yourself off, and try again?
Well, the way I look at it, that is that if you truly tried and it did not work out, but you still have that inner drive to do it again, then you should go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah, absolutely go for it. And never give up. I never give up. Never ever. And if you have that inside yourself, that drive, then it's worth trying again.
Who was it that said never give, never ever 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 give up? Catherine, wasn't that a Churchill? Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking more like Alicia Keys or Beyonce.
I was thinking Marcus Luttrell.
Luttrell. Okay, so. In bringing this together, Jakob, could you let our listeners know if someone wanted to learn more about you, your company, Max Grip, website contact information, phone number, what would be the best way for a listener to get in touch with you and your company?
Well, the best way to get into touch with our company would be through the website, maxgrip.com. You will find all information to get into contact with our company. If you would like to get into touch with me personally, I would recommend my LinkedIn profile. Mm. And if you look for Jakob Boelens, then you will find it on LinkedIn and also my contact details.
That's maxgrip.com. And your LinkedIn profile, would you spell your name, please?
Jakob. And Boelens.
Okay, very good. Wonderful show. Thank you, Elsa, for being
thank
on the
you.
Show. Jakob, and thank you, JJ Holly.
Thank you.
Don't forget you're going to be able to download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. Special thanks to the Woodlands Area Chamber of Commerce, the Sam Houston State University Entrepreneurship Degree Program, and also Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands. Great show. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front I'm a leader. The charge like a federal fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.